Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
A lot goes into taking care of your property. You need equipment with more reliability and versatility built in, like Kubota BX and L-Series compact tractors, rated number one in durability and owner experience. Z-Series mowers that deliver a quality cut, and Sidekick utility vehicles where durability meets speed. Visit your local Kubota dealer for a demo today.
Green & Sons Farm and Lawn Equipment. On the web at greenandsons.com.
Welcome to the Viking Age podcast, the official podcast for thevikingage.com. I'm your host, Adam Patrick. I'm the editor for the Viking Age, where we cover the Minnesota Vikings. And I am also joined by my co-host, Chris Shad, who writes for us here at the Viking Age, as well as zone coverage. Bring me the news and the Brookings Register. Did I get that right?
That is correct. All right. Designing pages Register now.
He's a jack of all trades over there.
What do they say? As duties apply or additional duties of something like that.
He does it all. He does it all.
So if I'm on tilt today, just cut me some slack today because my brain's fried.
But for sure. I mean, everyone's probably fried after the draft. Usually takes a couple days to recover from everything. So
it's like a Vegas hangover. Like you go there for a couple of days, you're flying home, you're like, you just see it like you're going back to Minnesota and you see the water bottle just like slow, and you're like, no. And like you land and it's like -5. Never been to Vegas, but
no.
I want to be.
That Vikings is play.
Yeah, I was about Vegas. To say that's kind of leading into one of our topics today. Yeah. I'm
sure that'll be a hot ticket for Vikings fans. Because I mean, I've been to Vegas once, and just short trip, because one, you don't go to Vegas for like a week. You go for like 3 days, because after 2 days you're like, ooh, okay.
So you don't go to Vegas to pump the brakes. You go to Vegas to put your foot on the floor
And then, but like towards the end, I was like, you walk through all the hotels and you're like, these are all the same. So like next time me and my wife go, we're like, we're just going to stay in one hotel, stay there. Cause you walk around and it's like, okay, this stuff's cool. But like, it's all just casino and pools and dance clubs. So, and sports books, of course, cause you can bet.
That's probably, you know, it's kind of lame. Like when I go to Vegas, that's probably where you'll find me. Just at
I've heard March Madness, like for the men's basketball tournament, it's like amazing to watch in Vegas because the sports books, everyone's just freaking out.
And they have Final Four in Vegas, I think next year or the year after, which is going to be, that is just going to be a blast when you think about it. But
I'm sure nothing wrong will go. Nothing will happen. But this leads us into our first topic, which has to do with odds makers. So following this year's NFL draft, the division odds around the NFL have been updated. I don't think too much has changed, but this also includes the NFC North, of course. And according to DraftKings Sportsbook, right now, the Lions have the best odds to win the NFC North. I believe they had the best odds before the draft, too. Right now, the Lions have +110 to win the division. The Vikings are +350, as well as the Bears, who are also +350 to win the NFC North. And then you got, all the way at the bottom, the Packers +500. I would actually put money on the Packers because you don't know. So despite winning, you know, the Vikings winning 13 games and the NFC North last season, and the Lions only winning 9 games last year and missing the playoffs, Detroit kind of feels like a heavy favorite. So can you maybe explain to me why the Vikings aren't favored to win the NFC North? I know the Lions have added some pieces this offseason, but they haven't been like monumental. So I'm confused. Why aren't the Vikings favored to win the NFC North?
I think a lot of it is recency bias. I think the last time that we saw the Vikings, they were getting stomped by the Giants in that playoff game. Not really stomped, but
their defense did.
the Giants did what they wanted in that game, right, basically. And that's why Daniel Jones is making $40 million a year now after throwing 15 touchdowns last season. But when you look at the Lions, you know, the way their season ended, they won their last, what was it? I don't think they won their last nine games.
They started like 1-4, 1-5.
And then they just caught fire.
Yeah, then they won.
Yeah. And that last game was on national TV. So, yeah. I mean, that game probably sticks in the brains of people making these odds. And then they see, like, some of the moves that they made. You know, the draft wasn't as, like,
and they would have made the playoffs, I think,
positional value.
I think they would have made the playoffs if the Seahawks lost, if I remember correctly. So,
yeah, that was the thing. Like, there was this big conspiracy theory that some kind of missed field. I don't really remember. I was deciding pages in my own threshold of hell. Yeah. But that was the thing. Dan Campbell's like, well, they're not going either. And by the way, you pointed this out to me, and I got to give you credit for it. Dan Campbell coming out of Texas A&M was a 10.0 RAS score from 1987 to 1990. Now he got surpassed quickly because the tight end position has obviously changed.
Yeah.
But that just blew my mind that Dan Campbell is basically like a Terminator in football terms. And then, you know,
what do you run, like a 4.58, 40?
Well, that was like one of the worst things he did. Like it was like bench press or anything. I just envisioned Dan Campbell throwing on his Walkman, putting like fuel on cassette and like just the beginning workout. Sure. He's like, give me fuel, give me fire, give me that much at the side. And he's like, well, yeah, man, we're gonna effing do this. We're gonna, you know, I'm gonna like 500.
He definitely had some, he definitely had some corn and some Godsmack in his headphones playing.
What the hell is wrong with this guy? He won't stop. Like, dude, that's enough. Bench. No, man, give me fuel.
Was he born with a goatee? I think he just came out of the womb.
He just popped out of the womb with a goatee.
Yeah.
And a venti in each hand.
Yeah.
It wasn't even invented yet. They're like, what are those giant coffees in his hand? Yep. And he could talk.
Yeah.
That was the other. He's like, don't worry about it, man. Just like slammed his ventis and off he went.
So do you think, like, even by the odds makers, do you think the Lions should be favored going in the next season?
Before I went on my tangent, this is what I was going to get to I think the division as of right now, we don't know what the Packers are. The Bears, I think their odds are way too high right now. I just think there's another year before that rebuild starts to bear fruit in the standings.
Oh, they got DJ Moore.
They got DJ Moore, which is a upgrade on what they had.
Yeah.
You know, I think looking back at the last couple of games the Lions played at the Vikings, ever since Dan Campbell took over, I think they had to get that bomb from Greg Joseph at the horn expired where Kirk Cousins and Mike Zimmer were going to have a street fight on the sideline. Yep. That was the first time they played Dan Campbell. The second time Dan Campbell beat them when Cameron Dantzler was playing 10 yards off the end zone in the final play of the game. Yep. Ed Donatell defense before Ed Donatell showed up. Yeah. Then last year, the Vikings had to come back from 2 14-point deficits at a game I attended. And then you go to Detroit, you basically get your ass handed to you. So I think that, Detroit's had the Vikings number. And if we're going on who's going to win the division based on the head-to-head, Detroit's been a real problem for the Vikings. So I don't blame anybody who thinks that Detroit is still a favorite in the NFC over the Vikings.
Yeah, that's just two games. I mean, the Vikings could lose those two games and still they could still win 13
games. But the Vikings also have a more difficult schedule than the Lions
do. For sure.
Because of that first place schedule, the Lions are what, a second place? I mean, it's still difficult, but still.
Yeah, the Lions are going to have a tougher schedule too because they finished in second, I think, the year before they finished last because they won like three or four games.
Mm-hmm.
So they're going to have a tougher schedule as well. They're going to have to play teams like the Giants and the Seahawks and the Falcons. I know this is odds makers and the goal is to make money for the people in Vegas or where, I guess it's not just Vegas anymore because you can bet in a lot of places, including Minnesota. Can you bet in Minnesota?
No, we haven't learned. Our
like it's like
yet.
South Dakota.
South Dakota can't either.
What about North Dakota?
Nope.
No.
Oh, Iowa can. Wisconsin doesn't allow it. Illinois allows it.
Yeah, I was gonna say Illinois. So you can go to Chicago.
But you can go somewhere. Still gotta go to the dark web to do it.
But the goal
not that I would ever do anything like that. If you're watching,
Yeah. The goal for odds makers is always to make money. So people are going to see this line, or they're going to see the Vikings line probably and be like, plus 350. I'm throwing money down on that because those odds are way too high. So I think that's part of the thing here. The thing that probably surprised me the most, it's not even the Lions being favored. It's the Bears having the same odds as the Vikings. So are the Bears either going to be that much better or are the Vikings going to be that much worse? Because I feel like the Vikings lost players this offseason, but the players that they lost were like Adam Thielen, Eric Kendricks, Patrick Peterson, all these guys that are like, they've got like maybe 2 or 3 years left in the NFL.
They're shoulder shrugged.
Yeah.
It's like, not you like, look at all the guys they lost, you're just like, oh, I guess Patrick Peterson signed with, oh, I guess Adam Thielen, oh, yeah. Eric Kendricks.
They replaced them all with younger, faster guys, especially Adam Thielen. He just got replaced by a first round pick. You know, Dalvin Cook's probably gone, but was he that much of a difference maker for the Vikings last year? You know, he ran for what, over 1,000 yards or whatever. So
1,100, yeah.
But can the Vikings rush for what he did with the guys that have, you know, left? Yeah, I think they can. Justin Jefferson's still going to be there. TJ Hockenson's still going to be there. Their defense should be better because it can't get really any worse than what they were last year.
And you know who else they have? Kirk freaking Cousins.
Yeah.
Or excuse me, Kirk freaking Cousins.
In his second year in the offense.
Yes.
That actually does mean something because people probably bring this up about the Lions when they talk about Jared Goff. They're like, oh, Ben Johnson's coming back. You know, Jared Goff gets to be in his offense again. So why does he get the benefit of the doubt and not Kirk Cousins? Because I'm pretty sure, I know we're not like the biggest fans of Kirk Cousins on this show or other people, but he's better than Jared Goff. That's not a debate. He's better than Jared Goff. But my last question on this is just, how surprised would you be if the Bears finished with a better record than the Vikings?
I would be shocked if the Bears. Okay. Like, unless it was like the Vikings just, like, Justin Jefferson gets hurt, Kirk Cousins, like,
he would have to get hurt, right? Kirk Cousins would have to get hurt.
Kirk would have to get hurt. Jefferson, like, multiple players would have to get hurt.
Yeah.
And, like, Jaren Hall would be a dumpster fire behind center. Jordan Addison never shows up to a training camp practice or something. Kevin O'Connell forgets how to coach. Like, he just... he hits his head really hard during training camp and he just has amnesia. Like, he thinks he's like a world-class baker instead of a football coach. But like, if it, I'm just Flores saying, flop. Yeah, I mean, if the Bears finished with a better record because the Vikings just absolutely bombed, probably let, because I think the Vikings, there is no middle ground for the Vikings. Like, yeah, they could finish with 7, 8, 9 wins, but I think that they could also finish, I think it's either going to be like a 10 or 11 win season, or it's going to be like a, four to six win season. Like,
that would be good.
That would be very good, okay. Because the Vikings would have a top 10 pick. We wouldn't enjoy it while it was happening, but once like the smoke cleared and the dust settled, we'd go, okay, we got a top 10 pick. Kirk kind of shit the bed last year. Look at this quarterback class where you have a lot of good names, but I just don't see the Bears having this like big turnaround. Like seven wins would be a huge jump for the Bears.
Justin Fields, he's going to be better next year. He also has a style where he can get hurt, and he did last year. So like, is he going to be able to stay healthy all the whole year? And if not, who's the backup now? Because they got rid of Trevor Siemian. I think Andy Dalton go somewhere else? Nathan.
Yeah, because Adam Thielen said he was the reason he signed in Carolina. Because Andy Dalton went to Carolina.
Yeah. he was one of the reasons I came, because they're just building a Super Bowl contender over here with Andy Dalton. I think Adam Thielen was on the Star Tribune podcast today too. I got to check that out, because it's not going to be like a Vikings.com kind of interview where they're like, so how's your offseason going? No, they're going to ask him like, you know, why did you pick the Panthers and how did things end in Minnesota? So I would,
the Bears signed PJ Walker, by the way, so he is the backup in Chicago now.
Okay, that's not terrible,
but I mean, you look at the rest of this team, it's like, okay, Justin Fields at quarterback, they didn't add a receiver in the draft, which, well, that's a shocker.
DJ Moore is the receiver they added in the draft,
which DJ Moore is like Allen Robinson, where he's that guy that put up a whole bunch of numbers like 1 year and everybody's like, oh, this guy's awesome. And then, like, you know, he just gets stuck with shit quarterback after shit quarterback. And, like, he just gets that benefit of the doubt. Well, it's the quarterback. Like, Allen Robinson went to L.A. last year and Matthew Stafford was hurt and they were playing Baker Mayfield. And, you know, what is he supposed to do? He's like the Kirk Cousins of wide receivers. So now he's in Pittsburgh. He's with Kenny Pickett. And when that fails, I don't.
Well, I also enjoy how the Bears are adding a bunch of receivers when they have a running quarterback. So like that's like the Lamar Jackson thing where people don't want to play with him because he runs, but you know.
Roschon Johnson, though. I know they signed Deonta Foreman, which that just seems like it's a
the kid from Texas.
Pan. Yeah. But Roschon Johnson, yeah. I wanna say he's like Ramondre Stevenson if he could catch. Like I think Johnson had, and I could be getting mixed up with another Texas running back, but he had a bunch of receptions last year and was really good. He's really fast, gets a lot of yards after contact. I think he'll be the starter in Chicago by the end of the season. But I'm also going to make sure I got his stats.
How are you right a college football team and you have both of your running backs get drafted and you're not that good?
Because Steve Sarkisian, Steve Sarkisian is drawing plays on a cocktail napkin and getting all upset when security guards lay their hand. Don't touch me! I'm in game mode.
Oh yeah, I saw that clip. I know what you're talking about. All right, moving
on. Jim Harbaugh is like the one guy you would expect to freak out in that situation, and like he's just like, okay. Yeah, cool. And like Sarkisian's like, I will hurt your entire family and your family's family and your neighbor's family and everybody else's family.
Sadly, that's the mentality of a lot of college head coaches because they're basically treated like royalty.
That went off the rails a little bit. Hard. I'm sorry.
But like if you're a college head coach, especially in football, like you feel like you're God, pretty much. All right.
Receiving. Before I move on, Roschon Johnson, 14 catches, 128 yards, and one touchdown. More than Dwayne McBride had at UAB, I guess.
But his entire career.
you can go on now. You have my permission. Right, I didn't want somebody in the comments to be like, he didn't catch the ball.
Yeah.
He didn't.
He did a couple times. Thursday, May 11th, is apparently the date that the NFL is aiming towards release their schedule. This according to ESPN's Adam Schefter. We already know all the teams the Vikings are going to face, but we just don't know when it's going to happen, which is important because, you know, you get a three-game road trip stretch and that could affect, you know, if you play a Thursday game and your next game's on a Monday, that all makes a difference. But for those who do not know, this is who the Vikings are playing at home next year. Obviously, you have the NFC North opponents, Chicago, Detroit, Green Bay. Then they will be welcoming the Chiefs, the Chargers, the Saints, the Niners, and the Bucks. On the road, the Vikings are, of course, facing the Bears, Lions, and Packers, and they travel to the Falcons, Panthers, Bengals, Broncos, Raiders, and Eagles. So they have 9 road games next year and 8 home games. Home matchup you're most looking forward to? I think it's pretty obvious, but just want to ask you.
I think it has to be the Chiefs, right?
Yeah.
Going to see Patrick Mahomes. I would bet this is a primetime game. Just because not only that, not only do you have a 13-win team going up against Super Bowl champions on the road, that just seems like it's a match, like a Monday night football game, I think it would be. I don't know about Sunday night, but it just feels like, maybe it's because like one of the games I went to, like it was Patriots Vikings at the Metrodome and it was Monday Night Football and Tom Brady just like spread them out and kicked their ass for 60 minutes. I think Mwelde Moore had a touchdown, punt return touchdown, if anything. If we're going for a second, kind of looking at this, I'd say the 49ers are kind of an exciting matchup. You get them here, they're going to be a very good team, and that's going to be your litmus test type of game. Are you on the same level as the 49ers and the Eagles, who you also play this year? We'll be talking about that in a second. But I think both of those, I mean, the home schedule is fun because you obviously have your game against the Packers, get Patrick Mahomes, you get Justin Herbert, and then you get the 49ers. And yeah, you get the Saints and the Bucks. They're not that great. But I mean, it's a fun schedule this year for fans.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Go out and see the Vikings. So I'm excited for it.
No love for Derek Carr in the Saints.
My brain said Raiders right away still. I haven't switched that over, but
I think you gotta look ahead to the Chiefs. I think I would agree that might be as a good chance that it'll be a primetime game, mostly because you get, you know, Patrick Mahomes indoors. You get the Chiefs indoors, which is, you know, if they were an indoor team now, they'd probably be comparable to like the greatest show on turf or whatever. The Rams back in the day who just blow by everybody. The Chiefs. I'd say I'm curious about the Chargers because I think like they're always that team that people are like, they're gonna be good next year. They're gonna be good. And then like they get hit with so many injuries. They get hit with so many injuries. Something goes wrong. Their coach goes for fourth down too many times. Like
blow a 27-point lead in the playoffs or whatever it was.
And I mean, I'm curious about the Packers game too as well, because we don't know a lot about Jordan Love. Nobody really does. You don't know what to expect. That'll be his first experience inside US Bank Stadium as a starting quarterback on the field. So,
quick question for you with Jordan Love. What did you think of that contract extension? Because I think it's brilliant.
Yeah, it's smart. It's smart to do that because they would have had to pay him more with the fifth year option. And I think this one, you can at least, after this year, I think they can at least get out of it and not be as penalized if they were able to pick up the fifth year option. So I think it was best for both parties.
And remember what happened to Daniel Jones. The Giants declined his option.
Yes.
He ran into Ed Donatell twice, had these massive games. They're like, well, he's progressing. We got to give him $40 million a year. They bought it themselves an extra year. So I saw a lot of people who were just like, oh, they don't believe in Jordan Love. I'm like, actually, that's just thinking ahead.
It's like an insurance. He can get paid nicely if he does well, and the Packers can move on if he does well. It works for both parties, and I think it was a smart decision for the Packers, one of the rare smart decisions they've made this offseason. Good for them. Don't think they're going to be good next year. But what will the Vikings' toughest road matchup be in 2023? And then you can just tell me which one you would like to go to, which seems obvious as well.
Well, Philadelphia is going to be the toughest one because, there's just some bad voodoo there.
Last one was on a Tuesday.
They're assembling the Avengers, but it's just Georgia Defenders. Just like, Bulldogs assemble! Philadelphia is not the game I want to go to. Obviously, no. It's going to be like every other fan in the Vikings uniform. Everybody's going to want to go to Vegas. Like, that might be the most homey road game of the year because Vikings fans are going to travel. They're going to go down there, especially if it's late in the season in like December or something. And who knows? Maybe if you're sitting next to the right obnoxious Raiders fan, you could get free luxury box tickets the next game and meet the owner like that Patriots guy did.
Oh, yeah.
So
yeah.
it's like a giveaway. It's like a unplanned promotional tour for the Vikings. Come to Vegas. I don't know how Raiders games are in Vegas now, but I do remember Oakland. Have I told you the Oakland story before? The Raiders and the Niners. So
Did you go to one of those games?
No, I went to an Oakland Athletics game.
There's always fights.
Yeah. I went to an Oakland Athletics game, 2019, Twins Athletics.
Good for you giving that franchise some money.
they need it. I will tell you that the seat that my friend sat in, the armrest was broken off. And like, it looked like I was assuming somebody used that thing as like a shank in like a black hole.
And that was a nice seat. That was one of the nicer seats.
Yeah, that was the nice seats. Like, wait until you saw, up in the bleachers. But we went into this like club like place, which is basically like a broom closet. They just turned into a bar. And this guy was like, he was an ex-cop and he was telling us this story. And there was this kid. He was a 49ers fan. And obviously it's like, if you've never been to San Francisco and Oakland, like San Francisco's like Pride Rock and Oakland's like the elephant graveyard. Like, Simba, you must not go over there. Why, Dad? Shut up. We don't need to talk about this. I don't know the exact quote. But anyway, this kid was like, hey, I want to go see the Niners play the Raiders. And the dad was like, okay, you're going to dress in all black. You're going to do not wear 49ers stuff. So they get to halftime. They go to the game. It's halftime. Kid's like, I gotta pee. They go up to the bathrooms. It was kind of like the Metrodome drops, but like super old because it was like ceramic. And there's a group of Raiders fans all at one trough, apparently. This is according to story. And the kid went up and there was this bloody beaten 49ers fan stuffed into the trough. And the Raiders fans were taking care of their halftime business in that trough. So I don't know if it's like toned down in Vegas.
Behind the Vikings bench if you go to
Just look for the purple. Look for a lot of that black hole thing. I would not venture in there. Just look for the purple. They can't beat all of us up. There's not enough room in the top.
Like a Dodgers fan get put in a coma or a Giants fan get put in a coma.
Yeah, he got what? I mean, sometimes too, those just don't be a dick when you go to another stadium. Like,
for sure.
The other thing. But also some fans are just dumb. Like, they can't handle alcohol. And like, Baseball Fight Club is my favorite account to follow on Twitter because it's normally just drunk ass Dodger fans just throwing haymakers at each other.
Oh, yeah.
Whether at Dodger Stadium or somewhere else in Major League Baseball. But sorry for stepping on you again, but I mean, be cool with the other team's fans. I mean, it's fun to like have a beer with random teams fans and just enjoy the game.
You don't always have to beat the other person. I never understood that. Like,
yeah, if your team loses, just for Vikings, just go, yeah, okay, yeah, we're used to this.
It's a game. But I would say of the away games, the Panthers are a sneaky one. I feel like that a lot of Vikings fans will go to because Mr. Adam Thielen plays for the Panthers.
He's from Minnesota, right?
Just inside, I think. And then I would say the Falcons is actually a sneaky away game too, because they have that nice brand new stadium that people might want to go check out. Mm-hmm. Atlanta's a cool city to check out too. Broncos, could be some people to go there. Definitely not going to the Eagles. Yeah, Raiders will be popular. Packers will be popular. Maybe some might actually. This might be the year where people like want to go to the Lions, because it might actually be a good game. So that'd be interesting to see too.
Ford Field's a pretty nice stadium too. So I mean, it's the nicest. Don't visit 8 Mile. That's not a tourist attraction.
I think it's like, it's got to be over 15 years old now.
Yeah.
It's
been around.
It's still nice though. Yeah.
Yeah.
How many primetime games do you think the Vikings are going to have next season? I'll give you a couple stats first. They've had at least 3 primetime games in 4 or 5 seasons with Kirk Cousins as their quarterback. And then they haven't had fewer than 4 primetime games in a season after winning the division since 2001.
I'm going to say 3. I think they'll get 3. I think they'll get a Monday night game. They'll get a Sunday night game. And then they have to have a short weekend.
Well, so, they'll have Thursday.
Yeah. So that'll be 3 primetime games. Want to say 4? But
I'm going to say 4.
4 sounds about right.
It'll be Vikings in Chicago. Always primetime. I wouldn't be surprised if the Eagles game is in primetime, because annoyingly, that's usually how it goes as well. Like you said, the Chiefs, maybe the Niners. That might be a good primetime game in Minnesota.
The Bengals sounds like a good Monday night matchup.
Yeah,
I don't know.
How many people want to go to Ohio
LSU reunion?
Yeah.
You know, you got Justin Jefferson.
It could be good. It could be a good matchup, actually.
That could be Justin Jefferson's heel turn. Like, he just hits Kirk with a chair and like rips off a Bengals jersey.
God. How about Joe Burrow does it instead and just has his old Randy Moss jersey on underneath his
bench. And Jamar Chase just goes, yeah, okay, cool, whatever.
He's like, I like purple and yellow. I've worn purple and yellow before. I might as well just wear it again. All right. Speaking of quarterbacks, last topic we're going to cover is I saw today Kyle Brandt from Good Morning Football released his he's been releasing his quarterback tiers. I think yesterday the AFC, and today he did the NFC. So, of course, Kirk Cousins is in the NFC, and this is how Kyle Brandt, who I believe is a pretty decent friend with Kirk Cousins. So this might be a little biased on his part, but I'll share it right now. So tier one in the NFC, this is just the NFC. So Kyle Brandt has Jalen Hurts all by himself in tier one. Tier two is Dak Prescott, Matthew Stafford, and Kirk Cousins. Kirk Cousins is in tier two of the NFC. In tier three, he has Derek Carr, Jared Goff, Geno Smith. Tier four, he has Daniel Jones, Kyler Murray, and Justin Fields. Tier five, he has Baker Mayfield. I remember that Baker Mayfield was in the NFC while reading this. Brock Purdy is also in tier five. That's the only two quarterbacks in tier five. Tier six, he has Jordan Love, Desmond Ridder, and Sam Howell. And tier seven, I'm guessing just because he just doesn't know what to expect from him, is Bryce Young of the Panthers. So is Kirk Cousins in the correct spot in these two?
I feel like Jordan Love's like at the bottom of the Mortal Kombat ladder, where it's just like he just starts and you have to like beat everybody up.
Yeah,
that sort of thing. But Kirk Cousins in tier two, according to where he has him, yeah, sure. If you're going to put Jalen Hurts in his own tier, I mean, I don't think he's worse than any of the quarterbacks below him listed. I think he's, you know, you could make an argument he's the best quarterback in that second tier. But the NFC has like no quarterbacks right now. They don't have, like, look at the AFC. It's like, oh my God.
And they just got more.
Yeah. That's like Infinity War. If we're going with Avengers things. I'm not doing the Star Wars thing, by the way, guys. It's not my thing. No. That's why I'm wearing my rock shirt. I do have my Air Forces on.
There you go.
So the Force is with me, but not in that way. I think Kirk, you could make an argument Kirk's the second best quarterback in the NFC, but it's, I hate saying it this way, it's almost big fish, small pond. I was watching PFT this morning and they flashed his stats. I'm like, God, those are good stats. It's like, why can't he like figure it out? Like, find a way to chuck the ball. And I know like some people will be like, oh, well, the offensive line sucked and they gave up pressure and Justin Jefferson was double teamed. Like, good quarterbacks in this league find a way to somehow give the receiver a chance to make that play. So, and I mean, if they short arm, I'll get back to that. If he short arms that, everybody understands. He goes,
can we talk about this on every episode?
It is. It's the last play we saw. And it's the play that everybody like defend. Like, well, you see, like nothing else mattered. It's like the Wild in the regular season. It's like they win like all these games and whatever. And then they get to the playoffs and they piss down their leg.
Did you
like,
see?
That's what Kirk Cousins did. I don't care how he performed the other 59 minutes and 45 seconds, wherever the hell it was. That play, the Vikings needed Kirk Cousins, and it was, well, a little risky there.
Did you see someone posted a Jaren Hall clip from when he had a 4th and 8 and he chucked a 30-yard bomb and got a first down? I know the circumstances were much different. It wasn't like the last play of the game and everything, but still, 4th and 8. I was like, oh, interesting.
Yeah.
I would agree that Kirk Cousins is in the correct spot. He's not, I don't think he's the best quarterback in the NFC. I don't think he's the worst. I think he's above the average. I would say, yeah, he's in the right spot. Cause like you said, like there's not a lot of good quarterbacks in the NFC. Like there's a lot of them are in the Kirk Cousins zone where it's like they're good enough, but are they going to take you to the top? Now Matthew Stafford did. He did help lead the Rams to the Super Bowl. He was hurt last year, and I'm sure that had a lot to do with his play. You know, can other players move up in this tier? Will other players fall? Yeah, that's gonna happen. The thing with Jalen Hurts being by himself, I feel like people might be a little too high on him after just 1 year of being successful. He did really well last year. I will give him that credit. But go out and do that again against a much tougher schedule. you know, people are going to be going after you a lot more next year. Like, go out and do that again. Like, to put him at the top by himself, I also don't know who else you would put him in tier one. So that's part of the problem as well, too. Is there anyone on this tier that should be moved up or down?
I mean, not to mine. I mean,
Justin Fields is in tier four. Should he be above? Let's see, tier three is Derek Carr, Jared Goff, Geno Smith. Should Justin Fields be higher than them?
I don't think so. No? Like everybody on the bottom, they kind of just got to prove it.
Brock Purdy, he's tier five.
Brock
Baker Mayfield.
Brock's like in that unknown tier though, because of his elbow. Like, is he just
and he played six games? he didn't play a lot.
Is he just going to show up and like noodle arm everything now? Yeah. Like, is it just totally going to be gone? Like, that's going to be really interesting to see how that turns out. But I don't have too many complaints with this list.
I would put Derek Carr lower. I could see Geno Smith falling during the season. I would probably move, just because I think he's going to progress, I would probably put Justin Fields in tier three. Daniel Jones.
I don't know. And Donatello has him as 101.
If Daniel Jones had a different head coach, he would not be in tier four. He also wouldn't have gotten the contract.
He wouldn't be making $40 million.
Baker Mayfield is just weird. Did the Bucs draft a quarterback?
No. That's why they
want to be the worst team in the league. They want Caleb Williams. That's why they didn't draft him.
If you think teams were tanking for Victor Wembanyama in the NBA, like, wait till you see the NFL next year, where teams are just like Marvin Harrison Jr., Caleb Williams, Drake May.
But a lot of the teams that are going to be bad next year are also just drafted quarterbacks. So it's going to be like the Texans. I guess they can't get the number one pick because they traded that to the Cardinals. Where you look at a team like the Colts, they just got Anthony Richardson. Are they going to draft quarterback next year? Probably not. I'm trying to think who the teams that are going to be bad. If the Browns are bad, they have Deshaun Watson.
Cardinals projected their first two picks.
I've seen the Cardinals taking a quarterback with number one, but I'm like, okay, what are they doing with Kyler Murray? You just signed him this monster extension. You're just gonna be like, nah. Do you draft a quarterback and sit him for a year? Like what? I don't know. It's gonna be. I would say the Bucs are probably the team to watch. That it really seems like they're like, we're gonna try for a top. Like, Tom Brady's gone. We're good. We can start over. They'll probably have a new head coach. You know, look at their new quarterback. They'll probably have a bunch of cap space. So, like, what they're doing, you know, it's probably pretty smart. That's it on these tiers. I think they're okay. They're okay. I think like
they're mid.
I haven't seen the AFC. I'm sure the AFC was a lot tougher to figure out.
Yeah,
like, you got Josh Allen, Joe Burrow, Patrick Mahomes, Justin Herbert, Aaron Rodgers, Lamar Jackson. Who else?
Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, I said Aaron Rodgers. Trevor Lawrence.
Oh, sorry.
I think Trevor Lawrence actually responded to the tiers today. It was like, you know, you don't play, the games aren't played on paper, because I think he was putting like the seventh tier or something, and he was like, what? I thought he looked good, at least at the end of it last year. I think he'll be better with Doug Peterson, but that'll do it for us today. Next week there was some stuff to talk about with the Vikings, like some player, they went to OTAs this week. Justin Jefferson wasn't there. Everyone's freaking. No, it doesn't matter. He's probably just doing his own thing because they're voluntary.
Yeah.
Kirk Cousins was there. He said he wanted to stay in Minnesota, blah, blah, blah. We already knew that. Brian O'Neill talked. Seems like his rehab's going well. Lewis Seen, positives on him. Sounds like I think some players said like he doesn't even look like he's injured, which is great. Now he just has to figure out how to be a starter. Not a whole lot to come out of Vikings. I feel like that's part of the Kevin O'Connell regime, like, change. Like, the drama is way less than it has been in the past. Like, nothing gets out. There's nothing really to be like, ah, like, what we don't talk about stuff that happens in the facilities, really. We talk about, you know, these quarterback tiers or like stuff that other people say about the Vikings. It's not really like in the past with Zimmer, I felt like it was more stuff to come out of the actual locker room. With O'Connell, it's like, nope, nothing there, which is good, which is what players would probably prefer. So that will do it for us today's episode. Chris and I will be back next week. If you're watching this on YouTube, make sure to subscribe and like this video. Also follow the Vikings on Twitter and Facebook. And the audio version of this podcast will be available on Apple Podcasts, iHeart, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. So until next time, Chris and I talk to you later.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.